All right, we are here. We are Galexis. Welcome. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today. And on a topic that is perhaps very apropos, considering all the turmoil in your reality, in your economic situation in the country, all the political shifts and changes going on. It's important for you to know that you have personally, individually, chosen to incarnate, to be here at this time, to explore something of major import. You have had other lifetimes exploring your spiritual path. In one facet or another, you've played with this aspect and that aspect. But you've looked at this time and this space on the planet as of total excitement and total opportunity for you in your spiritual path. Why? Because you have the opportunity to participate in something grand. Some people call it the shift. Other people call it a change of consciousness. Other people talk about moving from three-dimensional reality into fourth and fifth-dimensional reality. And all of that is true. This is a time and space in which the parameters, the energies are correct, right, and true for the great change. And some of the other lifetimes you have experienced in your spiritual work have been in a way to prepare you, to align you, to set you up for stepping into this lifetime's experience with a greater sense of mastery than ever before. You see, spiritual traditions, if you notice them, religious traditions, shamanic traditions, mystic traditions on your planet, all have roots in the ancient past. There are other traditions that have died, traditions from Atlantis and Lemuria, in which you participated. What's so interesting about this time and the opportunity so grand is that by your incarnating in this particular lifetime, at this particular time, and being in this particular region of the world, is that you are able to be on the front ranks, on the first waves of stepping into a transdimensional consciousness. It has not been this way on the planet heretofore. It is the first time on the planet that the evolution of consciousness has reached a point where you can create your own reality consciously. Now, you do create your own reality. In fact, that's the first secret. You've heard people talk about that. You do create your own reality. But unfortunately, when you came into this life, at some point, you had to forget who you really were. Now, this is part of your design. You may wonder, well, why would I want to do that? Well, you see, dear ones, you chose to come here in order to learn how to create. Okay? Now, if you already knew who you were, you would already be oriented towards creation from the point of self. But what you wanted to do was do something really unusual and different. You wanted to create from scratch. You wanted to go into the darkness, into the void, into the nothing, into the emptiness, into the chaos, as science calls it, where all potentials and all possibilities exist, also called the womb of the goddess, womb of creation. You wanted to go into that womb, not knowing who you were, to discover who you were and to discover how to create. You were wanting to create a template, a pathway, a blazer trail, where others could follow. Now, in the future, not so long into the future, you're already seeing children being born who have greater gifts than most people, most adults know how to have. And some of these children, they're called rainbow children or whatever, indigo children to rainbow children now, and so on. Children with spiritual gifts, these gifts are natural to every human being. But you didn't want to come with your gifts intact, necessarily. Only a few people did. What you wanted to do is you wanted to create from scratch. You had to forget who you were. You had to be born into a circumstance in which, for your psychic and creative gifts, to not be fully appreciated or understood. So that you would close them down temporarily. And learn the ways of the world, the ways of 3D consciousness. And you did a good job of it. Now, sometimes you've regretted that. You said, well, why would I put away my powers and gifts and strengths and spiritual awarenesses? Because, once again, you wanted to find the beginning of the trail and create the trail from the darkness to the light. And if you're going to create a trail that leads from darkness to light, you got to go and start in the darkness. Future generations will come with a knowing of who they are, but the trail will have been blazed. You will have created it, and your whole reality, your world, will predominantly move along these trails, these tracks, these tracings that you make as individuals. You thought this was an exciting adventure. So here you are. We know that sometimes you may have regretted that enthusiasm or regretted your choice, perhaps. Oh, my gosh, what did I get myself into? Physical plane reality stuck in the box, three-dimensional box. And when people talk about thinking out of the box, you know, it's such a catchy phrase. But it truly is a time in which you are going to step outside the box. Step outside the realm of consensus reality, mainstream thinking. You've come yourselves to stretch that, to expand that, to grow that. And in order to do that, in order to create, you look about yourself and you realize that everything must be about creation. You need to look at your whole reality, all the things that happen in your reality, all the things that are in value to you in your reality. Love and relationships, success, money, prosperity, abundance, health and vitality and strength. And your spiritual path, the connections with God, Goddess, all that is, connections with the divine in you and with your spirit helpers, your crew, we call it. You're the ground crew. Not necessarily that they're all there sitting in motherships, but they are around you. They surround you. Your unseen friends surround you. They walk with you every step of the way. But this reality, this universe that you got all so excited about is a universe that is focused on free will. There are other universes. There's infinite numbers of universes. There's not just one. Other universes are based on other principles. But this one is based on free will. And you thought that was most intriguing because this is the universe which is like a school for those who choose to step into their own godhood, to do their own creation. There will come a time where you could create your own universe. You could create life, breathe life into forms, give them function. But first, you must learn to create consciously in your own empowered state. So to create, one of the best ways to create is to create in your physical plane reality something that you can see as a direct result of what you do internally, of your creative process, and that is called manifestation. You've come to learn manifestation. Manifestation is a heck of a lot of fun. A lot of people go and look at manifestation from the point of view of the old Piscean age. This is the Aquarian age, an age of acknowledging one's own spiritual self and the balance and the equality of you with other light beings. This is not the era of major gurus and everybody else pathetically groveling at their feet. This is not the era of God being the Lord and designer and demigod or big God or however you want to call him, who determines whether you get enough food and whether you get a good relationship or something, and then you must pray and beg and plead, even bargain, in order to get what you want. That's part of the old age. And other concepts part of the old age that are limiting to you in this new age, in this new reality you have so enthusiastically embraced and have come to help create and co-create with others, have to be released. Old limiting beliefs, old limiting ideas of spirituality have to go. Even though there's so much attachment to these traditions, but every tradition, for the most part, has its limitation. So part of what you're doing, whether you enjoy doing it or not, because a lot of people love the sense of belonging that working with inside a tradition gives them. But you are, to use a popular current term, you're the mavericks. You're the ones who decide that you're going to do it consciously as the individuals you are. And as soon as you make that decision made that decision, if you haven't noticed, you will find that traditions, while pleasant, while alluring, tantalizing perhaps, almost a sense of nurturing that comes with them, can also become suffocating. They can become very nice to a certain point, and then after that, it's up to you anyway. And so you've decided to go on. You've decided to find the new roads, the new trails. We congratulate you. It was not an easy choice to make. You chose a very tough assignment. It's not an assignment from God. You have to surrender. This is my will. You have to come down here and suffer some. No, that's old stuff. You assigned it to yourself. It's an elective. You didn't have to become physical. You didn't have to do this. You chose to because you wanted to. So we're going to share with you what we call the secrets of reality creation, secrets of manifesting what you desire. The first four of these seven are what we call the templates. They are all the patterns, the basics. If you get those, you're in the right state of being. You're in the right consciousness. You're conscious and aware enough to be able to activate your tools, your resources, your understandings, your wisdoms. The following three have to do with the process, the activation, the application of the first four. It brings it to seven secrets. And we call them secrets because most people, up until very, very recently, didn't even pay attention to these, didn't even consider the possibilities of them. It was outside the belief structure. But fortunately, now the time has come where enough of it has entered into your own thinking, your own believing, your own understanding, that you are ready to take these and fly with them, ready to go with it, ready to explore and to have the fun that you actually chose to have when you came here. You see, you thought this was going to be a really fun experience. You didn't know you were going to have to go through as much turmoil on struggle, perhaps, and frustration, and even pain and suffering. Because, of course, before you came into this lifetime, you knew who you were. Oh, that's a cinch. But when you're here and you don't remember all of who you are, you don't sometimes feel adequate and up to the job. You have fears that limit your movement forward, fears of failure, fears of humiliation, fears of getting lost, fears of overwhelm, of too much to do, fears of responsibility, of duties and obligations. And these fears create resistance. And so, if you've noticed for the time that you've been on your spiritual path, whether it's been short or long, you've been spending a lot of time overcoming resistances. You know, learning how to slog through your own resistances, to clear them out, to clear your way, to come to a place of better understanding and awareness and preparation. The hard journey, the hard part of the journey, we might say, is over. What you have facing you in the future at this point is not going to be anywhere as difficult as what you have experienced in the past. The worst is over, okay? You're not behind either, okay? You're not behind. A lot of people think, oh my gosh, when will I ever get there? When will this new age ever come? When will da-da-da-da? I just feel like I'm pushing and there's always so much more and I'm delayering the onion, you know, and I'm taking off layer after layer, but it's infinite. Is there ever a core? Will I ever be done with the layering? You've done most of the layering. So, congratulate yourself for that. The first secret, one which you know the buzzwords, you know the saying, you create your own reality. Now, at first glance, it's, oh, yeah, I've heard that, yeah. Okay. You know, what I think and what I feel. Oh, law of attraction, yeah, I know about that stuff, yeah. What you do need to know and do need to remember that you may have forgotten about it, or you may not have been taught about it in the first place, is the issue around responsibility for your reality. Just because you get a really sucky, nasty, unpleasant reality show up, something challenging, unpleasant, difficult, this is not a reflection on you. It's not to judge you. Don't hold yourself, you know, liable to be judged, criticized. When you create your own reality, it's very important for you to realize you've been creating it subconsciously and unconsciously. And the trick to move from subconscious and unconsciousness into conscious reality creation, okay, all right, is what we're talking about today. When you create your own reality, we're talking about consciously. So if you've made, if there seem to be mistakes, quote unquote, showing up in your reality and it's not, your manifestation is not what you've been wanting it to be, don't go and kick yourself. Right? Just don't do that to yourself. Acknowledge, hey, you know, I allowed it because there's something subconscious and unconscious that is still creating my reality and creating this manifestation. And so I'm going to pay attention and learn what it is that I was unconsciously or subconsciously doing and learn how to change it and replace it with something I consciously choose. This is the process. So the key here in creating your own reality is recognizing that no matter what happens to you, do not let yourself go into a position of judging yourself or being a victim. Do not let yourself go into a position of powerlessness. Do not assume that a choice that it seems that you have only one option to make, that you're powerless to have other choices as your options. Recognize you're always capable of being in your power. Now, what does that mean, being in your power? It means that you are acknowledging that you are a reality creator. And that, yes, you may be like a student. You may see yourself as a student. That is still too much diminishment of you. You really are much more advanced than you give yourself credit for. But very important to recognize that you're learning, you're exploring, you're working out the details. This is part of your mission. This is what you came to do. Not to hold anything against yourself. You know, a creative artist. Artists know that a lot of times there's lots of flops and failures and stuff before they get to, okay, this is what works. If you want to be creative, you have to give up the idea of doing it perfectly the first time. You cannot judge yourself that you're getting it wrong, all right? It's like, oh, okay, that's not working. Okay, back to the drawing board. Let's see what didn't work, and let's replace it. Now, what kind of attitude is that? That's an attitude of power. Because in that attitude, you know you have the capacity to make your choices. You have the capacity to make changes. You have the capacity to impact your reality and make a difference. You make a difference with yourself, you can make a difference in the world. Why? Because when you acknowledge that you create your own reality, you're also going to have to acknowledge that this whole reality is an illusion. And you've made it extremely real. And we want to point out what a masterful capacity that is. You, the reality creator, devises an illusional reality that is so real that it puts you through all sorts of stuff. Masterful. Now, what if you can make a reality appear that real consciously? You see? That's like magic. Yes, it is. You're like a magician. Yes, you are. A powerful reality creator. Anytime you are with other people and doing things and you forget that you're a reality creator and you forget that you've chosen to come here and play on this playground that you've created and to learn and explore and put together the tools and blaze the trail, you'll give your power away to other people. You know, when you were a child, you were in a position of powerlessness. Who had the power? Well, the parents obviously did. But you know that in your resistance and rebellion to your parents, you were in the process of learning to take your power back, yes? And if you have been a parent yourself, there are times you realize you're giving your power away to your child who's valiantly and creatively, to, at their level, learning to manipulate you. You manipulated your parents. But you didn't acknowledge it because that wasn't in your self-image at the time. You couldn't use that information because you didn't think about it. No one told you, did they? Did anyone say, hey, look, you're very powerful. You can imagine and dream and create any reality you choose. The best that maybe they could have said to you is you can be anybody. You can be anything you want. You're talented, you're gifted, you could do anything. That was the old school. That was the best of the old school. If your parents gave you support for things that you enjoyed and you felt passionate about. But for most of you, you made many, many compromises. And you assumed that was the way it was. And if you're not careful, if you don't stay aware that you're a powerful reality creator, creating your own reality, that this is your mission, is to create your own reality consciously. If you lose your consciousness, if you go on automatic and you fall asleep consciousness-wise, your power goes out of you like that. You'll give it to your mate, your business partners, or business associates. You can even give it to a sales clerk when you're checking out of a store. You can give it to perfect strangers. It puts you at a tremendous sense of vulnerability. But you can always take your power back. You can always, driving down the highway in the traffic, and there's traffic is congested and you're getting frustrated, don't give your power away to the traffic. Just don't go into, because if you go into frustration, you're going to start judging the way they drive. Have you ever judged the way anyone else drives? Oh, this person is so slow and... Oh, that crazy person changing lanes like that, you know, hope they get a ticket or whatever, you know. Watch what you're doing. You're giving power away. You're assuming that the illusion is more real than you. You can always say, power, return to me. You breathe in, pull it to you. Power, return to me. If you find yourself in a problem with your mate, your love, power, return to me. That doesn't mean you're going to dominate them. Doesn't mean you're going to tell them what to do. It just means that you're going to, this is the Aquarian age, you're going to respect them and respect yourself. And you're going to work egalitarian. You're going to work as an equal. And that's your gift to them, for them to be your equal. So that you can love, give love, receive love. You're creating this. You're never, ever a victim once you grow up. Now, yes, as a child, you're a victim. As a teenager, you can still, in a sense, be victimized because you're not yet capable of a certain level of responsible awareness. That level of responsible awareness has been actually identified by scientists in the human brain. And they have found that it's only about age 18 or 19 before a person can actually, truly, in their brain, using the circuitry of their brain and using the way that they are, to be able to take responsibility for themselves. They did it with all sorts of studies. So, of course, they laugh. Well, that's why teenagers just seem to be very irresponsible and careless and all that, you know. Yeah, because they're not at the level of responsibility. But once you enter responsibility, and in your culture it's like age 21, now you can, you know, drink and vote and do all the stupid stuff that adults do and all the wonderful stuff that adults do. Now the door's open to you. You are mature enough to be responsible for yourself. So the opportunity, if you're over 21, is to really manifest your reality consciously and be responsible for what comes to you. Because you see, in an illusion, the way you do this is that you have everything that shows up to you in your illusion to be the reflection of you, of what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're not doing, everything about you that you need to know next in your spiritual journey, in your personal work of reality creation, is going to come to you. You don't have to go out there and say, what's my next step? It shows up in your face. The feedback is there. Every piece of feedback is something that you, a powerful, aware, conscious, and responsible reality creator, can utilize to understand more about yourself and what you need to do. A lot of times, if something happens, you have this issue with somebody who is just dominating, controlling, and manipulating you up the wazoo, what's the feedback? Feedback is, here is where you normally give your power away. Don't do it. You see, it's a message you give yourself that way, if you'll read it that way. If a person rejects you, criticizes you, judges you, that can be feedback to you to tell you, not that you're full of crap, not that you're inadequate, not that you're stupid. That's giving them the power to tell you who you are. The feedback comes to you saying, oh, okay, did I do something out of my, that's not in alignment with my integrity? Did I hurt this person? What impact did I have on this person? And if I was coming truly from a state of egalitarian communication, giving them respect, respecting myself, and staying in my power, if I didn't really, within my intention, do that, is this telling me something, that this is a place where normally I would judge myself? Is this a place in my life or in the process of whatever it is I'm trying to accomplish right at this moment, and this person is criticizing me, is this telling me that I need to do something about my self-image? You see, you can use every piece of feedback. Everything can help you remember, I validate and value myself. There we go. I take my power. I'm going to be the reality creator. And I'm going to look at this and what I can do. And when you can do that, then you're not afraid of your feedback. If when feedback comes to you and it's not pleasant and you cringe and shrink into a little tiny nothing, feeling defeatist, feeling embarrassed, feeling worthless and unlovable and all that kind of awful crap, you're just playing the game of victim. And if you are attached to being a victim, if you use your victim consciousness as a manipulative ploy to make other people sorry for yourself, or have them take care of you, or have them do this or that for you and make them feel guilty, then you're going to continuously get feedback from your reality saying, stop doing this. Take your power. Stop playing victim. Stop trying to manipulate. And when you get it, it's like a storm passes and the sun comes out. And you feel free. And you can create different realities. If you have a pattern that seems to stick in there, there's stuff that you like to manifest, but always, somehow along in the process of getting it, it falls apart. That place where it falls apart, the way it does it is giving you feedback. What's going on? Are you giving your power away here? Are you going unconscious and unaware? Have you thrown your responsibility away? And it gives you just exquisite, perfectly designed feedback. Everything that comes to you, every person that you meet, You have created that. And it gives you feedback. You are a powerful reality creator. Secret number one. Secret number two, aligned with that, is that whatever you manifest is as beautiful and as glorious as who you see yourself as being. If you think you're this little, you know, I'm trying to do better and I'm just such a really sweet person and why won't people just love me kind of person, you're not going to create the realities that you supposedly say you want to create. If you see yourself as a loving being, and you see yourself as a radiant light being, and you see yourself as a powerful reality creator, and you see yourself as a joyous, confident, strong individual, and we're not talking about physical strength, we're talking about spiritual strength, character strength. If you really own who you are, then your realities are going to always reflect that. Whatever reality comes to you reflects the level of self you are acknowledging in yourself. Now, if you want to manifest something really, really neat, whatever you choose to manifest, whatever you want to have happen in your reality, it needs to be in alignment with who you are. You need to kind of know who you are. If you don't know, or if you feel like your knowledge of yourself is incomplete, this is an invitation for you to go on a journey of self-exploration to the next level. One of the things that brings you to the next level of awareness is to acknowledge that you are a light being. You are a spark of consciousness. You are a divine being, a light being, and that you're having a physical plane experience. If you can identify with your light being self, your physical plane realities become much lighter, more harmonious, more pleasant. And if there's a certain thing that you desire, a certain thing you want to create and manifest into your life, it needs to be in alignment with your temperament. In other words, a person who loves long solitary walks by the seashore, who loves to hug trees, and who loves to be outdoors, 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 will do anything to be outdoors. Don't try to manifest a job, a desk job in an office with no window in some, you know, high-rise office building. Now, that's an extreme example. But one that's much more common, and we see a lot of people who are very creative and imaginative and expressive and so on, trying to take a regular 9-to-5 job that doesn't have enough variety, doesn't have enough movement, doesn't have enough flow in it, something that's real stable. And very often, you know, creative people, their energies surge and wane and surge and wane and surge and wane. It's really hard for them to be steady people. That's boring. So you don't want anything that's boring to you or anything that requires you to be a temperament you're not. If you are a kind of a steady temperament, you like organization and you like management and you like that kind of thing, then don't make yourself, you know, be an artist. Don't make yourself do something because you think that's what's going to be really great. In other words, don't choose a profession that's outside your temperament. Don't choose a lifestyle that's outside your temperament. Now, there are four temperaments, basic temperaments, and they are in alignment with the four elements that of the ancients, so the Native American medicine wheel, etc. They very often are initiations in shamanic traditions. You know, that you're initiated with the south, the west, north, east, or whatever. Many traditions have the four directions. or they have the four forces of nature, or they have the four archetypes, or archangels, whatever. And that is, of course, fire, earth, air, and water. Now, you can guess, you know, what temperament you are if you know astrology. And just enough to be dangerous, right? Oh, my sun sign is Scorpio. That's a water sign. I must be a water temperament. Not necessarily. In astrology, there's so many other situations that help determine that. Your temperament is generally seen in astrology by how many planets are located in cardinal, fixed, mutable houses. We're using Western astrology here. Or how many planets are in fire signs, air signs, earth signs, and water signs. You can look at the balance of a chart and you can kind of get what the temperament is like. Fire signs are generally tend to be very creative. They're, you know, they move a lot. They're visionaries. They like to go out where other people are afraid to go. They have a lot of, like, seemingly courage. And they have an energy that's very initiatory. And then very, you know, and sometimes it just falls out. This is part of the creative temperament is fire. Fire is the passion. Right? Fire people, very passionate people. Very temperamental. They can change on a dime. But they don't tend to hold grudges. They tend to go through and be done. But meanwhile, everybody's been blasted, you know, or whatever. Fire signs have that creative surge. Now, fire as a temperament is like that. Earth as a temperament loves order, loves a certain sense of structure, loves the earth, literally, loves, is grounded, likes things to do with their hands and with their body, loves senses and sensory experience. We'll talk in terms of, you know, okay, I get that. You know, they just sense, they know stuff. They may not be great visionaries, but they're very much into things like healing arts, psychic healing arts. They love massage, body work. They love to work out. They love muscle development. They don't necessarily like sports because those are competitive, and earth signs can be competitive, or earth temperament can be competitive, but generally they like a sense of knowing where they're going, and they like the feeling of being in contact, right there, direct contact. Air signs and air temperament. This is sometimes the least stable of the four. This is the idea person. The person who tends to dissociate from the physical body, because your culture has this philosophical belief that mind and body are separate. This comes from centuries of tradition, and it's hard to overcome in just, you know, two or three decades of life. But still, they have a tendency to want to wander off, and they are easily distracted. They are curious. They want to know stuff. They're always asking questions and wanting to find out and discover stuff. They like to communicate and talk ideas with people. They get bored very easily. They cannot hold steady commitments for organization, for desk jobs, unless there's something that they're doing very stimulating with their mind, and there's lots of interesting variety in it. They'll go absolutely bonkers working a regular kind of job. Water. Water people are into relationships into communion, they kind of merge with whatever it is that they are interested in. They will let themselves be lifted. They are the emotional ones. A lot of people look down on water sign types, and so a lot of people will not admit they're water people. But some of them, they just love dolphins. They just love dolphins. They love healing. They feel the energies flow. They know how energy moves in a body. They're generally the most intuitive. They get messages very easily. Their intuition can work very easily because they see how things flow, how things move. They love communion, connection. They're like earth in that sense. They love connection. Whereas the fire and the air can be very individual. Although in earth sometimes you do have people get very detached if they've been hurt in love. And they'll become very self-reliant. I won't rely on anybody else because I can do it all myself. Now, you can play around with those and say, okay, which temperament is really suits me and which combination of maybe two of these really works for me. Or you can take some of those personality inventory tests to figure that out. But whatever it is, whatever you want to manifest, whatever you want to create in your life, you've got to live a life that's in alignment with your temperament, and whatever you desire must be in alignment with this lifestyle that's in alignment with your temperament. It's really interesting how people choose people for relationships very often who are extremely different in their temperaments. And then there's all sorts of clashes over order. Well, this is my priority. No, this is what needs to be done. No, this needs to be done this way. No, getting schedules coordinated, getting everything coordinated between two people that are very different. Sometimes you do that to help you, to give you feedback as to your temperament. It's a self-discovery experience. Some of you, like water signs in particular, or water temperament, will have a lot of resistance to really knowing themselves. It's just too easy to go along with whatever's there, water and air. We'll just go along with whatever's there. We'll just go with the flow, okay? We'll just kind of... And so when it's time for you to know, if you're an air or water person, to know who you are, sometimes you have to have, you know, a fire or an earth or something to kind of wake you up, come on, like, and give you a bit of a, get in your face and give you a bit of a challenge. So that you decide, here's what I prefer, here's the way I am, here's what I feel, and this is what feels right for me. There are certain people who can only work a certain amount and have to have a lot of time just to drift and think and not be focused on something. And then there are other people who love the focus and the push and the follow through and all that. Think about your temperament. What temperament is you? You're probably a blend of two of the four. But you need to have your life lined so that you can enjoy being the person you are. Yes, you need to have skills and abilities and aptitudes and so forth developed of the other temperaments just to stay balanced. You want to have a certain range of balance and have certain resources. But the focus of what you want to manifest needs to be a reflection of the true you. And the brighter you acknowledge yourself to be, and the more you let yourself acknowledge you are the spark of consciousness, a particle of the body of God, God is all that is. You are of infinite value and worth. You deserve all the love. You deserve everything because of who you are as a light being. Not because of whether you've worked hard or done your homework or been a good boy or girl. own that you are this great being. Now, keep out of ego. You need to distinguish ego, because ego is your first enemy and it's your last. There's never a point in manifesting where you do not need to be aware of what your ego, and we are talking here toxic ego, negative ego, is doing. You have to have a positive ego to function. But the negative ego is the one that compares and judges. If you have comparisons and judgings going on in your psyche, in your mind, ego has stepped in. If you want to manifest this because when you manifest this, you'll get lots of money, people will admire you, and you'll impress people or something. Of course that's ego. Because ego's saying this is better than, and what you would do for you, nobody wants, nobody values. So that means that if you're going to make money, don't make your choices about what's going to bring your money in according to where you think the jobs that you think are going to bring in more money. In other words, don't make money more important than your temperament, than who you are. It's the people who are true to themselves that make the fortunes. People who compromise who they are in order to make a buck will continue to think lowly of themselves. Be hard for them to get bigger in their self-esteem. And ego is the one that's going to sneak you into that compromise. Because ego says, you can't do this by yourself. You're not as smart, you're not as powerful, you're not as good, you're not as whatever, and you're not as good looking, you're not whatever it is, as these other people who are successful. So you need to make a compromise and you need to do this. Or the ego, of course, could take the other tact as well, the one that most people associate ego with. Well, you know, you're the best. You know, that people are not appreciating you. Well, screw them. They just don't understand. They don't know who you are. You've got to show them. You've got to let everybody see how important you are. And what's that song? I'm too sexy for my shirt. That's a song of ego. It's funny in that regard. You know, it's a humorous song. Everybody who hears the song generally should know it's an ego song and laugh and enjoy it, but not take it seriously. All right. That's the second secret. All right. The third secret is that what you desire to manifest, whatever form you want it to take, you know, whether it's an event or a certain amount of money, or a particular career, or a particular an execution of something, or a completion of a project, like writing a novel, or whatever it is. Whatever it is you're wanting to manifest. That's the form that you want to manifest in. That's what it's going to look like in the physical plane reality. But that's not what the important thing is when you want to create it. When you want to create it, the most important thing about it is what you're going to feel when you're there, when you have that. What are you going to believe about yourself and about your reality that would be consistent with that level of success? What kind of thoughts will you think? What opinions and impressions of yourself will you hold? What would your self-image be? And what would that feel like to have that self-image? We very often suggested that people put, you know, certain things into their visions of what it is that they want in form. And that whatever you want in form needs to bring you greater power It needs to give you a greater sense of personal freedom. This doesn't mean the freedom to get up and wander away anytime you want to, but a greater personal freedom in the sense that you have the power to make the choices and that you can negotiate and arrange for your lifestyle to fit in there. Greater power of choice, greater freedom, okay? That it can make you more loving. That you can receive more, that you can love more, you can give and receive more. And you see, with your empowerment, you're going to feel safer. With your freedom, you're going to feel light. Now, you always want to go to a greater level of responsibility. This is similar to power. Responsibility means that you're capable of directing energy and directing manifestation at higher and higher levels. And that you can take responsibility for it, i.e., you can respond to the feedback that comes to you in a way that's mature. And whatever it is that you manifest, see yourself as more of an adult. You're not looking for other people to validate you, to value you, to make you important, to make you feel good about yourself. You're already doing that yourself. That should come with that second piece. It's really owning yourself and feeling good about you and loving you and nurturing you. Now, once you do that, then what you dream about being, then you're just going to see yourself as being more self-loving, more caring about yourself. Not in a selfish, bitchy kind of way. Not in separation, but more loving to others. If you have a lot of energy, you can give lots of energy away and not be depleted. And you're only going to have a lot of energy if you let yourself receive love. You have a group of spirit helpers around you 24/7. Any time at all, they would absolutely love to be called upon to give you love, to give you energy, to pump you up with light. So when you imagine what it is you want, and what you desire, the symptoms of it, which is the form that it will take in your reality. You want to imagine who you're going to be there. What kind of person will you be there? What will it feel like being there? And how is it different from where you are right now? And there you see the ground you have to traverse. You see what you need to do. If there, when that manifests, that you feel that money comes to you naturally, it's just natural to you that money and value accrue to you, and right now you don't feel that's natural for you, that's kind of like hit or miss, then you realize, okay, I want to be more consistent in my owning that I'm valuable enough that money coming in is natural for me. What you want to see is you being more in a reality, a bigger, beautiful, more abundant, more prosperous, more loving, more fabulous reality that's natural to you. That it's just natural for you to have that reality. And you step into it, feel it, and own it. What does it feel like? Oh, this feels really good. This feels right. That gives you a whole sense of connection with it. And the more detailed that you make of it, about beliefs and what you think and what you feel when you're there, the more real, quote-unquote, in your illusion, you're going to make this manifestation. This is spoken of at length with the law of attraction. You're going to create a resonance, an energy, a light in your reality. And so in that place, magic will happen. the miracles will occur. You will have a greater, much greater sense of personal freedom. Now, if you have at the present time emotions that kind of snag you up, and you know by your pattern of success that you get snagged up at some point with fears or doubts or hesitations, you know to deal with those now, because on the other side, you want to see yourself being confident, enjoying who you are. So you can examine your life and look at these different aspects of what it is. Where does your process of manifestation fall apart? One of the most common things is when you're trying to do a manifestation with another person, and you give your power away to the other person. And it will flop every time. Or you'll give your power away to get this, the ego's fantasy. The ego fantasy is, oh, you'll have all this money, you'll be living in this beautiful place, you'll be all these people that love you, and blah, 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 everything's going to be hunky-dory. Oh, it's all going to be so nice. Everything's going to be taken care of. Oh, everything's going to be wonderful. And then you can do this, and then you'll be able to do that, and so on, because you have all this money, and then you'll have that wonderful life, and blah, 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 blah. If you will notice that the ego fantasy, which feels really good when you first get into it. Ooh, that's so nice. Yum, yum, yum. It's one-dimensional. It doesn't go into the depth of what you're feeling and the depth of what you're believing and the depth of what you're knowing. It doesn't create realness there. It just stays a fantasy. Now, interestingly enough, the fantasy very often will just have you already sitting in this beautiful situation. Oh, just so happy. You know, it's like a storybook romance, you know. And they got married and lived happily ever after the end. That's ego fantasy. That's not real. That's something you would have dreamed up when you were 14 or 15. That's the energy of it. If you're still doing it, and you probably did it when you were 14 or 15, and if you're still doing it, you realize that it's your adolescent self that's dreaming it. And if you, an adult, are trying to fulfill your adolescence dreams, and of course your adolescent dreams are so that you can be popular and be in demand and be valuable and appealing and attractive and blah, 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 you're going to get stuck. You're not going to get all the way. Some people, when they have a fantasy, they'll put their trust in somebody else. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and we'll have all this money, and we'll get all this done, and blah, 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 blah. And it falls apart. Why? Because you didn't take responsibility for it happening. You gave it to that other person. They said they were going to do such and such, Galexis. But you're responsible for them doing such and such in the illusion, in your reality. Did you sustain your power? Did you keep your power? Or did you say, oh, I don't have to think about that manifestation now. They're going to do that. Did you just give it away? If you do that, it'll fizzle. It'll just fall through. And if you're so afraid that, you know, you want a job, you want this new, you know, level career or whatever it is, and you're just so afraid that that it's going to be too much for you. Are you going to get it? No. Because you'll see yourself in the future being overwhelmed, overloaded, over-demanded, stressed, struggling. Are you going to let that manifest? No, you might as well just stay here where you are. That's what you'll decide. Oh, it's safer just to be here. Or, even worse, you'll go to your past and pick up pictures from your past of what's familiar and safe and comfortable and easy and so forth. those years in the past where you made all those compromises, where you thought you knew the rules before you got thrown into your spiritual path and realized rules don't make any difference anymore. I'm here to break the rules. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this freedom? So don't go back into the past and pull that out. Because then you'll get all those emotions that you had when you're in the past that you'd really rather not experience anymore. The depression, the anger, the rage, powerless rage, the shame, the humiliation, the failure, defeat, energy. You don't want to go back there. Like we said, the hard stuff has already been, is over. You don't want to go back there. So don't let parts of you who are back there project what's back there into the future for you. And this brings us to the fourth piece. The fourth piece is time is not linear. The past did not create the present. If it did, you would never be able to grow. You would never be more than you were in the past. You would still be stuck in the self that you used to be. Think about it. The past isn't who you're about at all. It's the future. So think about it this way. Since time is not really linear, and you really enjoy, you just have an obsession, you know, you human beings, you know, have this obsession with making everything past, present, future on its line. Even other lifetimes you put on the line. Oh, the last lifetime and then the lifetime before that, which was more years back, and then the lifetime before that, that was further years in the history. Your lifetimes don't work like that. Your life doesn't really work like that. What creates the present is the future that you're dreaming. So you're dreaming a future anyway. If you come to a place in your life where you have no future, have nothing in mind for the future, there's nothing there, it's empty, that's when you die. Because there's no place to go. But you're always in process of going somewhere. And the future is where you're going. You're always heading there. But you are in the present going there. Because, frankly, and this is one thing that is very difficult to really grasp. The future, the past, and the present are all happening simultaneously. They're all happening now. What makes the difference between what is past, present, and future is how you define it with your attention. Your point of attention is in the now. It will always be in the now. You cannot have your attention outside the now. Just can't have it. You can't do that. In meditation, you can go in meditation and visit the past or the future and do work there. But you're still in the now while you're doing it. You're accessing memories in the past. You're accessing visions and dreams for the future. So, play with time. Use it powerfully and positively for yourself. Dream your future and dream the future you. Go visit with the future you. Let the future you show you where you're going. That gives you an orientation. And guess what? Your reality will totally move in that direction. It will have to. Whatever future you select, your reality will have to go there. It will pull you there. And the more reality you give that, and the more willingness you have to go there, and the stronger that you feel about it, the more honed and aligned your present will become. You will evolve there. You will have no opportunity to do otherwise. Now, we want to make a little comment here about success. When you came into this lifetime, before you came into this lifetime, you made a choice. You made a choice to come here to do a mission for yourself, personal, spiritual mission, and development for yourself. And then you also decided that you would succeed in this mission and that you would also do something for the world. We call this the personal mission and the global mission. And everyone does it uniquely. There's no two people who do it exactly alike. The personal mission is discovering who you are, learning to create your reality, learning to love, learning to get a peak experience that you came for. Some of you, the peak experience is to experience the grand love, the great love. Others, the heights and ecstasies of creativity. Others have to do with a grand success and having impact on the world, making a difference in the world. There's a great experience you came for. Dear ones, you will succeed. You will not fail this. It is your self-created choice. Some people may call it fate or destiny, but it's something you put together, something you decided on. And you're not going to leave. You're not going to die until you get to the point where you say, okay, I got it. I'm heading out. You came for what you got, what you wanted to get, and you got it, and then you have the choice. Do I want to stay and play some more, or do I want to leave? And so far, the program has been, when you get everything you want put together, then you leave. Or when you no longer have a vision of the future, when you no longer have a future, then that means, hey, okay, I got it. And you leave. And there's no failure in death. It's not a bad thing. Death is, can be a very beautiful, it's just a transformational experience. However, what most people get into with this time thing is afraid that they're falling behind the timetable they're supposed to achieve. You're not. Everything that comes to you and everything that you do, you are on your timetable. Some of you said, it's going to take me 20 years to learn how to break free of a codependent relationship. And other people say, I'm going to hit that codependent relationship. It's going to be done in 2.5 years. I'm going to be in a healthy relationship. You know, it's up to you. Some of you want more detail than others. And the good news is, it's up to you if you want to change your time program. But know this, whether you accelerate it or even slow it down and go into more detail, you will do it. You will complete it. You'll get it. Some people wait until they are dying of cancer and they get it on their deathbed, and we'd say that's not the elegant way to do it. Right? But you, as spiritual light beings, you can start to choose to do it proactively. You can start to do it in a different way. And you've come to make that template. Doesn't mean that if you decide, okay, I've done about everything, but I want to get this other little piece of self-love and self-nurturing before I go. But that's it. Well, maybe it is elegant at that point for you to get ill and to be nurtured and taken care of, and all you have to do is lying in your hospital bed and just love and nurture yourself and be in meditation. Some people actually do that. Some people go into coma so they can do that. Sometimes before people die, they're in coma for a few days. And during that time, they're working out that detail and getting it. Okay, I got it. Then they lift. And if there's a relationship that needs healing, a lot of people will stay until it's till they get the okay and the clearance on that relationship, and then they'll go. So today, later today, you're going to meet your future self. And your future self is going to show you who you're going to be. And we and you are going to link yourself up with that future so that it is inevitable that you go to that future. Now, there's infinite numbers of futures. There's infinite possibilities. The future we're going to use here, though, is the future of you succeeding in the most elegant, joyous, fabulous, creative, freeing way that's befitting a light being, manifesting and creating a glorious reality. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. This is the first four. We're going to do questions and answers. And then we're going to come back and we're going to share with you the three pieces of process that once you have your you kick your manifestation into gear, it has to do with the activation and the sustaining of your manifestation. What you do there. It's more what you do. This is more of what you know, what you are. This has to do more with the belief and the states and the construct. And the other is the dynamic of what you're going to encounter in the process of creating and manifesting and how to deal with it there. And what, when you create and manifest and when you get it, what do you do there? So that you keep that flow, the consciousness and the flow, it continuously expanding your reality, keeping yourself moving towards more and more positive and enlightened futures. Right? So we're going to take a break, what, to 15 minutes? 15 minutes. And when we come back, think about, do you have questions? Because that's a time that we and you, in a sense, write this other piece of the workshop that comes from you and from your spirit helpers, where we talk to you personally. All right, farewell for now.